Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 10-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Drink Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, drink that wine slowly, early. Mr. King, your casserole.
Chef de casserole.
Chef de casserole. Hey, welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. I'm Mike. I'm the sip part of the Sip and Chew, and Stu is the chew part. It's the chew part in the chef de casserole. Anyway, here we are. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful Sunday today.
It's going to be hot.
That's okay. I'm better than rainy and wet and humid. I'd rather be sunshiny and humid.
Depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. If you're napping, give me the rain.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting on a screened-in porch where you don't have to be out in the sunlight, give me that rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
if it rains, I take a nap.
But if you're going to the Delta, need some sunshine.
There you go. There you go. You know, speaking of the Delta, they had the wooden boat show there yesterday, and I forgot all about it, and I had several friends in it.
Where was it?
It was there. I can't remember if it was at Five Rivers or if it was at the Bluegill on that side over there.
Okay, back on the canal there.
I started seeing all the pictures of the boats. I said, God almighty, I forgot all about it. They were stouter built. And yeah. They were beautiful. I have some friends that restore them and enter them in competition.
Yeah. Well, when I went to Eco Wild the week before at the convention center, mm-hmm. they had a 1962 wooden ski boat.
Wow.
That was just gorgeous.
I happened to be up in Hammondsport, New York, in the Finger Lake region. We went up there to pick up some wine to bring back because it was going to take too long and be too expensive to have it shipped. From there, so we said, well, let's just. It was a holiday weekend. I said, let's just go and take our time, go get it, and bring it back. There happened to be a wooden boat show. There was stouter built. I mean, there were Chris Crafts and those beautiful boats up there.
Was it another one? Foxcraft, I think, is another one.
I used to have a 1936 Chris Craft barrel back. Never did restore it. I sold it to somebody.
Really?
But I had the full intent. I had intentions. Good intentions.
You are full of good intentions, my friend. I just didn't have the money. You are full of good intentions.
I didn't have the money.
And quite often, bacon, too. You're full of bacon.
That. And this morning, I'm full of build-your-own omelet from Bob's Downtown. It was so good. So good. I had spinach. I feel like Popeye. I had so much spinach in it. So
I tell you, I discovered this at the Cornhusker Hotel in Lincoln, Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
an egg white omelet with spinach or arugula in it,
mm-hmm.
some sun-dried tomatoes, and goat cheese is phenomenal.
I bet.
It's really good because everything else that they put in it has so much flavor.
Yeah.
And that's how you do that when you're trimming your fat and your calories. Get things that have a lot of strong flavor, and sun-dried tomatoes have a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
Goat cheese or feta, if you prefer. If the goat cheese is a little too goaty for you, some good salty feta. And honestly, the low-fat feta,
mm-hmm.
I really like.
They're doing an amazing job with some of the low-fat or no-calorie stuff. But they do have a white omelet.
White egg omelet
at Bob's is an option. Yeah. And I started to do that. But
or sautéed mushrooms in it is always good.
Well, I had mushrooms. I had feta. I had spinach. I had bell peppers, onions, and all that in it.
Yeah.
And maybe some kind of good meat in there.
you had patty sausage, smoked sausage, bacon.
No, I didn't have that.
And then you said, do you have turkey ham?
Hmm.
Which, by the way, is quite good.
Okay.
Have you ever had the turkey ham before?
Mm-mm.
Tastes like ham. Because they're using the leg
turkey,
and the thigh.
What's turkey pork belly taste like? Or turkey belly taste like?
Turkey breast. Yeah, they're a different type of animal. So they don't have the belly. But you can, I have seen Iron Chef Cat Cora make bacon with lamb belly before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Because there's a good deal of fattiness. Because the lamb is, you know, mm-hmm. as we said on our very first show, babies are delicious. And lamb is a young sheep, so there's a little bit of the baby fat still on there.
Well, look at veal. Yeah.
Yeah. Bacon is a... Beef bacon is very good, but it tends to be. But it is delicious.
I was going to ask you your thoughts on the beef bacon.
I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Beef belly. I've heard of beef belly.
Yeah.
And
those animals. I'm trying to remember the name. I think it's called like ruminant because they roam.
Mm-hmm.
It's four-legged animals. It's your pig, your cow, deer would fall under that as well. Lamb. Those are the only animals where the muscle tissue is called meat.
Okay.
Fish does not have meat on its bones. Chicken does not have meat on its bones. It has poultry. Meat is cow, pig, lamb, venison. Four legs, warm-blooded, walking around.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call their flesh meat on anything else. Chicken doesn't have a lot of meat on the bones. It has a lot of poultry on the bones. Simple as that. The other place that you would call something meat is the inside of a nut.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's inside the shell is called the meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of words that we routinely misuse every day. Hibachi is one that we covered when Charlie was in here. Those Japanese grills where they do the volcano on the onions, that's not a hibachi. That's a teppanyaki. A hibachi is a small cast iron grill that you fill with charcoal and cook meat on.
Well, I know when we were all young and single and we moved into our first apartments, hibachi grills were very popular.
They're terrific.
To put on our balcony. Required very little coal or charcoal.
Yeah.
And it
didn't
take up a lot.
It would burn the apartment complex down just as fast as a regular barbecue grill.
As well, yeah. Especially with that vinyl siding on the side. It melt. Get to the interior of the walls and there she goes.
Yeah.
That's where they put firewalls.
Yeah. Well, man, I got to tell you, my entire life to see an aurora borealis. It's something I have always wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
My father was lucky enough to see one when he was stationed in Washington State. One winter, it traveled down enough you could see it, Spokane, Seattle, in that area. Mm-hmm. And when we went to North Dakota a few years ago, I was hoping we're 60 miles from the Canadian border. Yeah, sometimes they get them. Didn't see them. We had two nights of it in Alabama, and I didn't see a bit.
Yeah.
And is that the first aurora borealis in Alabama in, what, 1,000 years?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll have to wait for the next one.
Yeah.
waiting a long time.
Yeah, but I did see someone go, man, global warming is causing so many things. Interesting fact. The aurora borealis is not caused by global warming. It's caused by solar flares on the sun. And those solar flares cause more global warming than anything else. That has been the main cause of climate change throughout Earth's history, including today, this period that we're going through now.
Mm-hmm.
It's solar activity more than anything else. This has been the most active 50 years of solar activity since we began tracking it.
I need to outlaw solar flares.
Yeah, no. Now, anything that we can do to cut down...
Pass a bill.
...on that, but, I mean... We're going to be having climate change just like we're seeing right now if we never had the first automobile that ran off gasoline.
We need to call somebody.
Yeah. Now, does it mean that the gasoline isn't still affecting it? Stuff like that. But it's kind of like a helicopter weighs, 5 tons.
How does it
landed on an aircraft carrier that weighs 100 tons. Mm-hmm. The aircraft carrier weighs 5 tons more. But can you tell? No. Because the aircraft carrier weighs like 150 tons.
How does that affect our food supply?
Drought.
Yeah.
I mean, it tremendous. The wine industry.
Mm-hmm.
Warmer climate is not good for certain grapes. It's better for some grapes.
Well, I know. Yeah. I know that they're in England, they're starting to grow champagne-worthy grapes there, like Chardonnay and Pinot Noir that will make champagne.
Right.
Because Steve Spurrier, who's the one who all behind the movie, Bottle Shock. And he was a big critic of wine out of England.
Is this the same Steve Spurrier that won the Heisman Trophy?
This one has a British accent.
Okay. So it's not the cool one.
All right. 251-343-0106 is the Callahan Irish Social Club text and call-in line. We'd love to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, we're going to talk about stuff.
Stuff. We ain't got nothing to talk about, so we're going to talk.
We got stuff.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Alrighty, we're back. So as mentioned earlier, I went to Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner, Fat Happy.
Okay, cool.
And had a build-your-own omelet. So and you can do that there. You can build almost anything.
Yeah,
you
Mike
want there.
Had it full of vegetables, which is always it's
full
a good
vegetables.
Way if you're trying to eat healthier.
Mm-hmm.
We need to lose this whole thought that that just means low-calorie, low-fat, because there are lots of things that are low-calorie, low-fat that are not good for you. Salmonella, for instance. Low-calorie, low-fat. Ebola.
That's not pronounced salmonella instead of salmonella.
Salmonella. He played tight end for the Bears, didn't he? Ebola.
Ebola?
Yeah, the Ebola virus. Low-fat, low-calorie.
Didn't he used to call games for Alabama?
Then he was fired for being old. But
oh, that hurt.
And add more vegetables to what you're eating, and it will make it more filling, and you get the vitamins and nutrients and everything you do. It's so much easier since I learned that, because I used to be my ideal pizza is a layer of pepperoni, a layer of cheese on top, another layer of pepperoni, double pepperoni, at least 100 slices. But I can sparsely put the pepperoni on there and load it up with vegetables and enjoy the pizza just as much. And it's really, it's the pepperoni and the sausage you put on pizza that makes it unhealthy. A slice of cheese pizza is
but
not a bad
sure
deal.
But it sure makes it taste so
but
good.
So do all those wonderful vegetables.
But combined. I love onions and
get a good char
peppers.
On the onions on there, and the mushrooms are a must-have.
Oh, pineapple. Oh, my God, I love pineapple on my pizza.
Well, you do have to be careful with that. Not only, you know, is it gross, but pineapple has more sugar than any other fruit.
Okay.
So you have to back off on pineapple. It's even,
no, you don't.
It's even more sugary than bananas. And keep in mind, fruit, very good for you, but very high in natural sugar called fructose, which is better for you than cane sugar.
Yeah.
But still, it's a lot of sugar. And that's why if you buy bottled fruit juices, you're supposed to water them down when you drink them. You shouldn't, especially for kids. Should be a mix of half fruit juice, half water, because it's way too much sugar.
I know in France and Italy, they do serve kids wine, or they used to.
Well,
but they cut it in half with water.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But let's go back to vegetables. How come romaine lettuce has so much, they have so many recalls on something like romaine lettuce?
Well, it's not just romaine lettuce. Here's the
deal.
It is a huge part of this giant food system that we need to address in just a minute when we get our other sponsors out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's long in the day.
But getting back to Bob's Downtown Diner.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of would have made my omelet better, and it was hard to make it better. Yeah. Maybe it's the Hall's sausage, smoked Cajun sausage.
Yep. Or the andouille.
Or the andouille.
From Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meats.
Yeah.
Chickasaw, Alabama.
Yeah.
Chickasaw.
I helped Deborah out the other night.
Excellent.
We were introducing my hot honey. BB's hot honey there the other night. Cammy at Old Dutch Ice Cream liked it, and so did Billy Stitt, which is doing the motorcycle ride today to raise cancer for awareness, to raise money for prostate cancer awareness, which everybody should be checking out. I go later next month and have mine checked out.
Dr. Jellyfinger.
There
fun.
You go. And then we want to thank, we want to certainly thank Hall Sausage Meats. Also, we want to thank Butch Cassidy's on the corner of Florida and O'Shell, which we finally call a flow shell.
Yeah, we do. So, okay, so here's the thing with the recalls you get on lettuce. Cilantro is a big one. These are all green things that grow on the ground.
Well, they could recall cilantro. They won't do
But like these are all green things that grow on the ground. We've had spinach recalls. We've had arugula recalls. The ground that they're using has in it fertilizer that comes from the cattle that we raise. The problem with that, and this is where this whole food system is so screwed up, is when they began genetically modifying corn, the way that they genetically modified it, they got the modification into it on a genetic level, into the cells of the corn, was to piggyback it onto a bacteria that can naturally permeate it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bacteria they chose at the time was this rarely encountered bacteria called E. coli. And so they've injected our corn with E. coli so that the corn is more resistant to Roundup weed killer. They then feed that corn to cattle. Cows cannot digest corn. They're grass eaters. They have four stomachs, and those stomachs will process all the grass they eat in a day in a number of hours. Mm-hmm. It goes in, it goes out. Good fertilizer there. Well, corn takes 4 days to break down.
Wow.
In the cow's stomachs.
One stomach a day, right?
No. It's all four of them are going at one time.
Okay.
And it takes 4 days for the corn to get broken down so that they can get rid of it. And the best breeding ground on earth for E. coli is the stomach of a cow. So when they process it, the poop is now super saturated with E. coli, way more than we ever would have encountered in the natural world.
Yeah.
Like thousands of times more E. coli in that manure than would be if it was just a cow eating grass. They then take that manure and they use that as fertilizer for lettuce, spinach, all of these things that grow green.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of E. coli in it. Now, they try and irradiate it, which is where they hit it with radiation, basically.
Yeah.
And that will kill the E. coli and any other bacteria that's growing in it. But sometimes people take shortcuts. It's cheaper to skip that.
Yeah.
You know? And that is why we keep getting these recalls, is because we are doing the right thing. We're using this poop.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of letting it pile up, we're using it as fertilizer.
Right.
But what we're feeding the cattle is making that poop more problematic than it should be for human diet.
When you hear the term grass-fed,
yeah,
that's important.
It's very important.
If you're shopping for meat.
Yeah. For cattle especially.
Yeah.
We were talking about ruminants earlier.
Yeah.
They are grass eaters.
Mm-hmm.
They graze. And grass is what cattle should eat. Now, when they feed it corn, we get this delicious, tender meat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying it. The best combination is grass-fed corn finished, which means it spent its entire life eating grass, and the last 6 months before going to market is when it got the corn to fatten it up and to give it the marveling. That's way better than a cow that is eating corn its entire life. And when you think about chickens, they go from egg to market in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Pigs go from birth to market in 6 months. Cattle goes from birth to market in 3 years. It's actually the cleanest of those three meats to eat if you're looking to avoid chemical contamination. Yeah. Chicken is the worst.
I noticed, too, I've been told, too, in my travels in the wine business, you see when they get through pressing the grapes.
Right.
And after the juice is set on the leaves and the skins and set in the vats, when they drain and they press, squeeze that to get every bit of the juice out of that's stuck between the skins and all that out with the seeds and all that, they have a pile of it, and they feed that to farm animals. Same thing with barley and wheat. When they make beer, they feed that to animals. How's that? How would you think that is different than the corn?
It's going to depend on the animal. Is it something that the animal because honestly, you shouldn't be feeding the animals anything that they wouldn't have eaten in the wild.
Absolutely.
That's going to be the purest meat you can find.
Well, I know chickens and turkeys especially, they love grapes.
Yeah.
And wild boar, pigs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, the biggest thing that's happened, because, you know, we used to grow up with this fear of, trichinosis from pork that wasn't cooked all the way? And the best thing that we've done to eliminate that, because there hasn't been a report of it in like 40 years, we quit feeding our pigs slop. Slop is what causes the trichinosis. Now we feed them grains.
Yeah.
And whole foods and things that we control. And trichinosis is not an issue. You can now have your pork cooked at 150 degrees Fahrenheit is good enough, which is medium. There's no danger from eating a medium pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what comes from a medium pork chop you don't get from a well-done one? Flavor.
Flavor.
Yeah. Because those well-done pork
chops.
That's
about how I cook mine. Yeah. Maybe just a slight bit over medium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right just, in that range.
But, I used to hate pork chops as a kid because my mom cooked them until they were dry. If it wasn't like jerky, my dad wasn't going to eat it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they fed their pig slops growing up on the farm, and you had to cook it like that or you're going to get sick.
My dad liked his steaks and stuff well done, like beef jerky. And I'm thinking, why didn't you just...
Do you get some beef jerky?
I had to...
You could have made them
go out on a
jerky.
Date in a restaurant to eat a real steak that tasted delicious. That wasn't like beef jerky.
And I always help people to go, well done is burnt. They're the same thing. They, no. If you cook it right, it'll still be juicy. No, it won't. You think it's juicy because you don't have anything to compare it to. Mm-hmm. You eat a medium steak and then eat a well done one cooked as good as a well done steak can be, and you're going to go, okay, I get it now. This is dry. It is dry. It is burnt.
That's one of the big arguments in the world. 251-343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social Club text and call-in line.
When we come back, we're talking about Carla Hall favorite chef contest.
Yes!
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Stu.
Hey, buddy.
I heard something about you.
It's probably true.
I heard you're trying to get too big for your britches.
Yeah.
And do something big.
Great big.
Great big old big.
Yeah.
What is it?
I have been one of the people selected. We've talked about it before. Legendary Nashville chef Carla Hall sponsors this contest every year called Next Favorite Chef.
Oh.
She co-sponsors it with the James Beard Organization.
A bit of course.
The entire event is actually a fundraiser for a number of the charities that the James Beard Organization spearheads. So the contestants, you know, as I am one of them, each of us have a dashboard that you can go to and look at our profile, read about us, look at some pictures, look at some pictures of our food, and, you know, vote on who you would like to see more of. But you can only vote once a day, unless you want to spend some money.
Yeah.
And what this would probably be is corporate sponsors or something like that, and they can vote as many times as they want. And the money that you contribute goes to these charities that this whole event is put together to fund. And they're feeding the poor, school students. It's all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Things to help restaurant employees who are in a bind or something like that. It's a bunch of really good charities. They're all managed and sponsored by the James Beard Organization.
Cool.
But they one chef will be chosen from popular vote, and they will get a 2-page spread in, I believe it's Home and Taste magazine. They will get to go up to Nashville and hang out with Carla Hall for a day and cook in a kitchen up there, shoot some videos, stuff like
cool.
that. And a little walking around change, $25,000.
That'd do me a day.
Yeah. And then Carla will also pick a handful of chefs that are independent of the public voting that she would like to work with. And they'll do some things with that, too. I don't know all the details what that involves. Is it a day that you cook with her? Is it plating? She's really big on plating.
Yeah.
So a lot of these are just going to be seminars on plating. But voting starts tomorrow, Monday.
Tomorrow.
At, oddly, 3 o'clock Central Time. The times they give it starts at 1 o'clock Pacific Time.
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M.
Okay.
Starts in the afternoon. It'll run for 10 days to whittle it down to a top 20. So from the 20th to the 30th, you can vote every day. More than every day if, you know, you contribute to the charities or live in Chicago and are dead. You can vote as many times as you want. But that
wake up, dead people, to
from the 20th to the 30th, they accumulate all the voting. They establish the top 20. Everybody else gets a thank you letter. Then they reset the voting again on the 30th, and it starts again to whittle it down to 15.
So, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
While you at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Do your voting.
Yep.
And while you're at it, vote for Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu in the Nappy Awards. You still got time for that, another week or so.
I didn't know.
to vote us for best DJs, because we're donut junkies.
And the other thing that we're up for, and this is the category that we actually exemplify. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other fine people in this category, many of them on this station. It's a lifestyle program, which is what we are.
We are.
We don't. Mike has wanted to win this nappy so badly. I've told him, we're never going to win with a niche show on 1 hour on Sundays going against these other shows that are on 5 days a week.
But we keep getting nominated.
But which is perfect. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. But now they've invented a category that we actually exemplify, and that's lifestyle programming. But we're up against our buddy Bill Finch, Danny Lipford. I mean, there's a lot of people that we're up against that are all fine shows.
Yeah.
But this category, at some point, we should win this book.
They ought to create another category just for us, the Susan Lucci Award. I think we win it. Without even there being one. If we got a James Beard nomination, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah, but the...
just like the Taste Award.
But the Carla Hall Favorite Chef Award, the contest, is... and again, I thank Mike, because he's the one that pestered me to fill it out.
You've been lazy lately.
I've been busy, is what I've been. But you know what? I have eliminated a whole lot of stress from my life in the last
week.
Good
for you.
I got moved out of Box Out. And they're still digging at it. You know, the other vendors in there, they had a source of income other than their Box Out pallets. They all have food trucks that they take to catering. I know Las Catrachas, you'll find them at Sage Avenue if you ever want to try them on the soccer games on Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. They make good money there. Smack Shack, Olivia has.
I just like that name.
Her catering.
I just like that name, Smack Shack.
Okay. Now, Smack no longer owns Smack Shack.
Okay.
He owns Box Out. He sold Smack Shack to his general manager, Olivia. She now runs it, all his recipes, everything. She's got a food truck. And then, of course, Dee Carnival Eats. Dee's got like a dozen trucks across the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Plus, he is the owner of that new steak and tater restaurant out on Cottage Hill.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's all the same group there. And so they had other source of incomes to prop that up while it's still struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
Yeah.
And so I did the wise choice. And,
that's okay.
And I know that with the success that I had, all the ratings on the food were just astronomical.
Yeah.
And constantly, and this is how I knew I was hitting on something, constantly had people come up after they ate just to tell me, man, seriously, best mac and cheese I've ever had in my life. The concept worked. Mm-hmm. The economy doesn't.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even the other three vendors there have felt the strain of this economy and are wondering, am I going to be able to continue doing this?
Right.
And we're going into the summer months, and downtown Mobile, the sales drop off even more than they have because everybody's at the Gulf.
I've seen it in my job.
Right. So, victim of bad timing. But the main thing is I'm not going to be sitting on my rocking chair 20 years from now going, I wish I had.
Absolutely.
I did.
Absolutely. No regret.
Yeah.
No regret.
And
regret is if you didn't do it.
Right. There's a King Crimson.
Yeah.
Great band. Has this thing where it's an old man talking to his grandson, and the grandson goes, Grandpa, what's regret? He goes, funny thing about regret. It's better to regret something you did do than to regret something you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
believing that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I gave it a try. Timing wasn't on my side. Ready to move on to the next thing. And if the Carla Hall thing works out, then, you know, tables reset. Let's do something else.
I look at Colonel Sanders. I look at the gentleman that started McDonald's. Look at all the things they started and it failed at. And, I mean, even Teflon was a failure. It was supposed to be something else, but it turned into that.
Yeah, now it's
how'd they get to stick on a pan? Though?
It's a bonding process, but you don't want Teflon anymore because
no, I don't.
You can't if you have a Teflon coated pan. This is important to know. It's fine to use it, but do not heat it beyond medium heat.
Yeah.
The problem with it is it puts off free radicals and stuff like this. Children, pets, and elderly—that's us, Mike. will experience flu-like symptoms if you have a Teflon pan that you heat above medium temperature. There are other replacements out there that do the same thing as Teflon that don't have.
I use All-Clad, and yeah. It's not Teflon. It's
right.
The way the pan's made.
The Gotham steel pans with the copper pans. Those are really good non-stick. An iron skillet properly seasoned. You know, so there are other ways to do it. One of the complaints I've always heard about iron skillets was, well, they're so heavy. Yeah, so? So's a tire when you have to change it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, an iron skillet isn't so heavy you need someone to help you pick
it
up.
You ain't going to be flipping an egg with an iron skillet.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to sit there and distribute the heat evenly.
And I'll tell you, and they're very expensive. The La Crusette cookware, it's out of France. It is cast iron with ceramic on the inside. Ceramic is an incredible nonstick surface. And it used to drive me nuts working in a restaurant with young kids, and you kept chili in a crock pot all day. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, man, I hate clean the chili off the inside of the crock pot. Why? It's ceramic. Mm-hmm. Get it wet, let it sit 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It comes out. It's the easiest thing in the world to clean. So a ceramic coating on a pan, that's optimal.
Yeah.
That is, because unlike Teflon and all the other nonstick surfaces, it still conducts heat evenly across the pan. It's just as good as cast iron for conducting.
I really like my All-Clad stuff, and I bought it at Home Goods, and it's cheap. It's inexpensive. Usually All-Clad, other brands, other styles of All-Clad are expensive.
Yeah.
These are, it looks like Teflon, but it's not.
Right.
And nothing sticks to it, and I can bring the heat up high, I can bring it low, and it doesn't warp, and it's easy to clean, and I use them every day, and it's just super good. We don't get paid or endorsed by them, but.
Yeah.
But
we will. You want to send us some money, we'll talk about your junk. Mike, I started trying this new supplement I was gifted with.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to pronounce the name, and I'm going to get it wrong, because every video I have watched has been a doctor talking about it, and every one of them pronounces it different. Shilajit. S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T. Shilajit. 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 I've heard all different pronunciations. It's supposed to be good for testosterone, for energy, mood. You know what it is? It's freaking incredible, man. It seeps out of rocks in alpine places, most notably the Himalayas are where they harvest it. When the rocks get hot, this stuff oozes out of it that looks like tar. And what it is organic material that got wedged in between the layers of rocks over hundreds of years. It's basically leaves that are hundreds of years old that have been pressed inside of rocks, and they ooze out. And it looks and smells like tar, and you just dissolve it in some water about two or three times a day. And just the fact that I'm eating plant life that's hundreds of years old is just fascinating to me. Just fascinating. This is day one.
So it kind of looks like my lettuce sometimes at the bottom of my refrigerator after a couple weeks. This looks kind of black and tarry looking sometimes. Still in the bag. My lettuce comes to my, lettuce is already dead, but it really comes to my house to die.
Get the living lettuce. No, seriously.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think it's like Boston. It's a variant of Boston. But the root system is still on it. You keep a little bit of water in it, and it continues to stay alive until you eat it all up.
Huh.
As long as you keep that little bit of water on that root system, you will have live lettuce in your refrigerator. I've got a friend who hasn't bought lettuce in a couple of years. She got a head of romaine, cut it off, stuck the part you normally chunk in some water, and just grows her own lettuce all the time.
There you go.
Yeah. Just keeps it up in the windowsill. Because that is a cool weather.
She doesn't need cow manure to fertilize it. 251-343-0106 is Callahan's Irish Social Club.
And manure line.
Banjos them are ringing, and the dock is singing down on Mobile Bay.
for more than a decade. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot.
Play for gumbo. I used to make it. Look at here. Look at my shirt.
I can't.
Don't be rude. Just show me the gumbo.
When he says he's showing you his shirt,
yeah,
that's because we broadcast this show live every week on Facebook, YouTube, and my Twitter account.
Yeah.
So you can always check it there. Go to our YouTube account. Hit like. Hit subscribe. Because we're putting out content every week.
Absolutely.
In addition to the show, content you don't get on our Facebook page with the series that Mike and I are doing of Off the Eaton Trail,
mm-hmm.
and which Mike hasn't contributed to yet, but he will.
I'm busy.
I had a bunch of stuff backlogged, so that's what I've been using.
Absolutely.
And then my series, Ask the Chef,
mm-hmm.
and then Mike is working on one. The biggest holdup to his wine thing is he can't come up with a clever name. So
that's he's my just excuse, not and I'm
doing
it
until he gets a clever name. He ain't doing jack squat.
What about
squat.
Delta Safari?
Well, that's not on our channel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's its own channel.
I thought it was.
Yeah, this is all. No, this is no, man. That's on Delta Safari channel.
Okay.
No, this is all on the Sip and Chew channel on YouTube. You can catch this stuff, and you'll hear us talking about our sponsors as well, like Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy, where Mike stuffed himself this morning with a built-your-own omelet. He built his with plenty of vegetables.
Good
probably,
stuff.
Probably a little bacon. An entire cheeseburger. Four or five Philly cheesesteak sandwiches thrown into it.
There you go.
This omelet was the size of a spare tire.
Something close. Anyway.
And also want to thank the good folks at Hall's.
Sausage and wholesale meats.
Mike, do you like any of their sausage at all?
My favorite is the Cajun smoked sausage.
It's a great sausage.
And I keep some in my freezer, and I keep backup in my freezer.
Yeah.
And then what I do, like tonight, I'm going to have stewed cabbage mm-hmm. or fried pan-fried cabbage yeah. in my all-clad pans, and I'm going to slice up that Hall's Cajun smoked sausage and put it in there.
Have you done the cabbage in an air fryer yet?
I like it better in my pan. I've tried it in there. I want to do steaks.
We'll do Brussels sprouts then.
I had Brussels sprouts last night.
Yeah, do them in the air fryer. Mm-hmm. It'd be really good.
Yeah.
And
had some last night in the air fryer.
Yeah. We also want to thank Butch Cassidy's Cafe. They're in the heart of the Flo Shell Entertainment District.
It is entertaining there.
Yes, it is. And Roy and all the fine folks there at Butch Cassidy's do a good job.
Absolutely.
They've been getting beat up by all these graduations at the Mitchell Center
That's
lately.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's good stuff.
That's okay.
They need the monies.
Everybody does, and it helps the servers and employees with their economy.
There we go.
So we have a call, Stu.
Yeah, let's do some yakking about snacking.
Cookie, go ahead.
Well said, Cookie. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Let's try Paul.
Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great, y'all. I got a name for Mike Show he's looking for. Just call it the Wine and Dine with Mike Bailey.
Hey, that's not bad.
Wine and Dine with Mike Bailey.
With Mikey D.
You like
comparing wines with food, man. So it's like you're twin, you know.
Well,
it's obvious.
I have a list of what things I'm going to pair with. One of them's going to be potato chips.
Yeah.
One of them's going to be with just sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right.
And just different sandwiches. So I'm talking about common.
I could go ahead and give
sandwiches.
You one right now.
What was that?
Chicken parmesan, a nice Chianti. Seriously, that
what
red
about
a
bologna sandwich?
Well, see, that's one of my favorites.
Is it a fried bologna sandwich or are we going raw with the bologna? Because both are exceptional.
I like fried.
Do both.
Oh, listen to this, man. One slice of fried, one slice of raw.
In the middle.
Yeah.
So, Paul, what's your favorite wine?
Schlitz?
No. I am a bourbon guy.
Same.
And I like Yingling beer.
I love
I like
Yingling.
I like a sweet red.
Okay, like Reuniti?
No, not like Reuniti. Liberty makes a good sweet red.
Okay.
Liberty wine.
Okay, awesome.
But
You know about
and believe it or not, I like White Zinfandel.
Okay.
So Charlie,
you and Charlie are buddies. Y'all got to be best friends.
Y'all can meet down at the Sizzler and have a time, can't you?
Hey, drink you about 4 or 6 ounces of that red hearty sweet wine that you like.
Right.
An hour before you go to bed, man, it builds your blood and
the resveratrol in it is very good antioxidant.
Help you sleep good. If you get leg shakes during the night, it'll calm that down. You'll have good dreams.
I'll get leg shakes.
You'll have good dreams. All right,
well,
buddy.
Y'all have a great day.
We appreciate
Thank you.
David right. said I need to call it Watch Mike Wine. Would that be Listen to Mike Wine? Oh, Listen and Watch. All right, we got Cookie on the line now? Is that who we got?
Yes.
Okay.
Cookie, you ask your question, then I'll ask you mine.
Doesn't matter.
Have you heard of this Shilajit that I'm this supplement that I'm trying out?
Heard of the what?
Shilajit or Shilajit. It is basically botanical matter that's hundreds of years old that has been pressed inside of rocks, and when the rocks get hard or hot, it oozes out like crude oil.
No, but I hope you eat it.
You drink it. You mix it. You mix it into a liquid.
What can we do for you today? You there? Hello, Cookie. No,
I guess we lost. We'll
keep trying. We'll keep
call
trying.
Back next week, Cookie, and we'll address the situation, whatever it is. We'll take it head on. What we might.
I think she was going to try cookware, but I don't know.
Yeah. What okay.
So we I don't mind talking cookware again next week. It's topics that people need, because we've said this before. People go, oh, I got a real good knife set. The whole set was like $100. Then you didn't get a good knife set.
Yeah. It's like wine. People think the more they spend on wine, the better the wine.
Well, $100 is not very much money on a knife set.
I understand that.
$100 is what you should pay for a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a good chef knife, whether it be the Japanese style, I like both, the traditional European or the Japanese, that one knife of that investment, you don't have to spend all the money on all the other things.
Okay, steel forged or poured into a mold? And
oh, no, I want that forged. See, that's the thing. The cheap knives are the ones, it's a stainless steel band, and they have a stamp that stamps out something in the shape of a blade, and then they put an edge on it. And that's your cheap stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not as good forged. And like my Santuca, it's funny. I have a Japanese-style chef knife that's made in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a European-style chef knife that's made in Japan. Well, it's Damascus steel. It's beautiful, Kaizen. But I have a Hinkle for my Santuca. And it is ice forged, which most forging, they pound the steel, they heat it up, they pound it out. They put it in water to cool it back down and start it all over again. Well, Hinkle is made, I believe, in Switzerland or Germany. And they just stick it right into an iceberg, basically.
Oh, wow.
They just have ice that they stick it into, which cools it down faster and makes that steel harder without making it brittle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've had that knife for 20 years.
Do you put your knives in the dishwasher?
Very rarely. Now, I'll do it about once a year. Just you don't want to do it with a wooden handle. What the problem is the drying process in the dishwasher on those wooden handles will make the wood shrink.
Somebody used to scream at me all the time every time I put a knife in a dishwasher, and she's listening to us right now.
Yeah,
from Florida.
Yeah, the
hey Claudia.
It's also a safety issue.
The
safest way to handle a knife is whoever's using it. Walk over to that sink and hand wash it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever throw a knife in the bottom of a sink. It is assault in the state of Alabama because they make you watch a video when you work in a restaurant. It tells you, don't ever do that.
All right, folks, we got to go. Get out there, support local, be local, buy local.
Oh, what else should they do, Mike? It's a hot day. How about they probe a bone? It's a mighty good food. It's a great day when I cowpokes will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ain't two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty life.